want to thank the Lord for saving my soul and the privilege that He has given me again to come over in this church. I will not really have a better word to express it, but we are really very thankful for your prayers and for your support and for everything that you have continued to do. The Lord has blessed us to have a lot of things done over Kenya. As I told you last time, that this work was started by Brother Bryson, and we listened to him through the radio. And from 2003, when the church was organized, we have had a lot of God. Things that had happened, and we have seen God working through everything. And right now, I'm very happy to report that we have now two churches. One that has just been organized about 2 years ago in 2011. But the church is having a name, Ramogi Hill Missionary Baptist Church, just along the Lake Victoria. And the pastor that they elected is called Pastor Rafael Obiambo. And I know that he needs your prayers. Right now, some of you may not know, they have already gone to the church, and it's right now in the evening while we are just beginning over this side. So I want you to continue praying for us. Since then, we have started a mission at Nairobi. Brother Festus is there helping me to preach to the people there. Nairobi, as I told, is about 8 hours drive. But also from Mombasa to Mariakani, also we have a mission that has just been started. And that's about 2 hours drive from Mombasa to Mariakani. Then from Mariakani, you go 6 hours to Nairobi. Then from there, you go about 6 hours again to Kisumu. Also, we have a mission there going on. Brother Michael is helping me over there. And from there, you have to go to Amogi, about 2 hours from Kisumu to Nairobi. But at the same time, along that Lake Victoria, we have another mission also going on called Muhuru Bay. Brother Boycott and Ronald is really helping us over there. So as you can see, that the Lord is really helping us. Now we have 2 churches, and the gospel is being preached to the people, and the souls are getting saved. Just last year, my wife, after she came from this side, she was so much interested in the things that she got from the Old Union women meeting, and she decided to have another meeting of that nature, and she called me to go and preach to the ladies, and 6 ladies got saved during that outreach, that mission that is there at Ramogi. And we really thank the Lord that the Lord can give us that privilege even to preach and to get the people get saved. Most of our mission now is centered on the school, because we are finding out that the school is a very good opportunity, because it's helping us reach the parents that would otherwise not be reached because of the Muslim kind of teaching, that they are really being told not to hear any other Christian allow them, because they are afraid that they are going to get converted. But we have seen through the work of school, we have been able to see other Muslims getting saved, especially the children that we teach at our school, both at our high school and also at our primary school, which Sarah have opportunity to lead and direct. Sarah now has about 300 children at the school. And as we told you, that every week, once in a week, we have a meeting with these children. And we have seen really the Lord working, because some of them are getting saved. And then after that, they go to our high school, where we continue preaching, and we have already got four at high school getting saved. And one most interesting thing is that two of them have been called to preach. And because of that, we are now thinking of starting a mission at where Sarah is having a school, so that we can be having them coming every Sunday, and also have their parents to come with them, because we're seeing that it's really an opportunity that is getting, or the Lord is opening for us to really minister to the parents. So that's why we are thinking as our next move to build a place where we could have our children, could extend to 500 students. At the same time, we can use that building for church every Sunday. That will give the parents an opportunity to come with their children just to listen to the Word of God every Sunday. And I see that one as a very good thing. And I want you to pray for me, pray for us as we try to really bring that initiative, because we see that one as the way that the Lord is going to really bless us on the school. We have high school, our high school now, and the primary school has already been now fully fledged and registered by the government. And this year, when the results of the national examination was announced, our school really performed so well, and we have in the district we were number 6, and that is really very very important. Something that is really helping many parents now wants to really bring their children to our school. So I want you to pray for us as we do this. This year in August, we are going to be holding a youth meeting. We always have it as a revival. And I would really appreciate if maybe one of these days this church will decide to maybe send for us some people to come and help us in a revival. Already we have about 3 or 4 people that are going to be helping us in August. It's a very youth meeting, a very big youth meeting that we really also see God working in that meeting, because last year we got about 17 young people got saved during that revival. So those are things that we are trying to do to at least reach these young people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So pray for us as we continue standing, and we pray that the Lord will give us the strength really to do all this. We have 2 groups that come to Kenya every year. One had just come in January, coming with Dr. Collins, with the doctors and nurses, come to help us in January. And then we have another one in August that comes for the youth conference. And I believe that this year the Lord has blessed us, because we are going to have one of the ladies from Missouri coming to be with us for 6 months, and she will be helping in the school. And that's really a very good, positive gesture for us to have her to come. Please pray for her as she plans to be going. I think she will be leaving on the 20th. She will be arriving on the 23rd. That's maybe a week after I arrive in Kenya. So put her in your prayers as she comes to help us over there. I really do want to appreciate and thank you again for the opportunity that you have given me to be part of your mission, and to be part of things that you do, and pray for us over in Kenya, so that everything will be done according to His will. My wife sends her greetings when she knew that I was going to be coming here. Said, please say hi to the people and the church here at Faith. And may the Lord really continue to bless you. And thank you very much. I want us to get to the Word of God. I'm going to be reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to be reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 2. It's going to be read from verse 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. And I read, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time lest at any time we should let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of the word, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. I want to start by saying that many of the scholars have tried to really dig out, find out who really might have been the writer of this epistle or this letter. But somehow they have not really given us a clear indication of who this person might have been. But they have different suggestions of people that they think, because of their background and because of what they write. What is evident here is that the author might have been a Hebrew, and somebody who was well conversant with the Hebrew law and rules. And therefore, I really do not want to get into a lot of things over the authorship, but what I know is that the letter is written to us and also to most of the people, and his really purpose is to warn and to admonish the people, wherever they are, to be able to hold and to really know Jesus Christ as a sacrifice, and also as a high priest that really endured in everything that he did. So the author tries to, through the Holy Spirit, tries to tell the people what they need to do, and that he wanted to encourage the Christian who has spread all over the world to be able to stand firm and have faith in their public worship, and also to pray and to be stable in spreading the doctrine, which was really very important wherever they are, because somehow it seems like people are becoming a little bit afraid, and somehow some people are drifting and not taking really more attention to the things that were very much important by that particular time. So there was a warning for them not to neglect the reading of the scriptures and to be able to stand firm. And in this, he tries to tell them to consider consider Christ, which he says is an apostle and the high priest of our profession. If you read chapter 3 of verse 1, he tries to talk about that. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostles and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. You see, he's trying to introduce to us or to the listeners the importance and the greatness of Christ and the work that he did to bring about the redemption process, which we now continue to uphold. He's trying to really let us to be able to stand firm and to say that Christ endured, and because of that is our best example. It's our best example to be looked at, and as we continue Christ, as we consider him as a high priest who is really a sacrifice. So he begins by telling us many other things about, he exhorts us to give, he says, wherefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. You see, he's trying to exhort us, to give us, he tells us to be more diligent, that we should give more diligent heed. If I were to be asked what is the topic that of this that I want to talk about, I would talk about the danger of neglect. Because we are living in a world where people are not really firm enough. They are not really, they can stand firm and talk about what they believe, but when it becomes, when they sense problems, they want to drift away. They want to really disown that which they have been standing for. I've seen men and women try, when the time comes for, when they misunderstand each other, especially at the time of divorce, their friends become enemies, and somehow things become so different that you cannot really tell. Did these people really hurt? Did they really love one another? Especially when they appear before the court. So here the writer, through the Holy Spirit, tries to tell the people that they are, that therefore, having heard many other things about Jesus Christ, he's saying that we should not be like other people. Because he says that therefore we ought to give the more honest heed to the things which we have heard. And he's trying to tell us that we need to, he's exhorting us to give more careful attention. A heed is that we need to give more careful attention to consider what we have heard, as to give it as first priority. He's saying to pay that we should pay more careful attention to the things that we have heard. And this is really the only thing that we can do to appreciate Christ of the gospel, to really make sure that it's imperative to the listener, to all listeners, to give most and honest heed. What are those things that we have heard? If you read the book of Numbers chapter 15, verse 30, we find out that the Bible speaks that those who heard, especially the angels that brought the law and did not really follow it, they really got into trouble. They were cut out from the community of Israel. They were completely, in fact, saying that soul that sins must die. And therefore, the author is trying to tell us that it's important for us to give more important attention to the things that we have heard. He's telling us to really to prize them highly in our judgment as a matter of importance. That we need to really hearken to them with the diligence in all opportunities that are provided. The things that we have heard. Some of us have been coming to church at the time since we were born. But it's like we are really, the attention that we give to the word of God, the attention we give to the reading of the Bible, the attention that we give to the things that we hear, would rather have been so two things that have really made me so happy. As I walk and as I move around with the brothers and sisters, I found that the Americans are really very good at really obeying the traffic law. That even in Kenya is somehow a different thing. That when you get there and you don't see the policeman, you can just move. But here, even a policeman is not there, but you stop because the sign has said that you stop. Because you give careful attention to the things that you have been taught to know, that you have come to know. And I also find out the Americans like their grandchildren. I don't know whether they have learned it from their parents or whatever, but it has really blessed my heart, and I wish I could. I was brought up in a way that I see, but one of my mother said that the grandchildren had always a tendency of spoiling the children, but I don't know whether that's the way we're heading to. But what I'm saying is that it's good for us to pay more careful attention to the things that we have had. What are those things that we have heard? What are the things that this author wanted the people to know? Because the law has been brought to them. They have been told about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They have been told about the work that he was to do. They have been told about the redemption plans that God had already brought. But they are somehow like not taking seriously. They are somehow like ignoring they're somehow like really not taking very much attention. And therefore the author is trying to say that please, you need to embrace them in our hearts and affections. Because it is very important. Well, something that people will say, well, I know I would really keep it as long as it can get hold of me. But you see, the author comes up and says, for if the word spoken by the angel, that word that was spoken by the angel about salvation, it is steadfast. It does not change. It will continue to be imperative and to be the guide. That if people are going to stick with the law is not going to trip with the people. That every person that will not take him will get a reward that is needed for that particular disobedience. So, it talks about that every transgression and disobedience received just recompense. So, it's very important for us, when we hear the word of God, when we hear about the message of Jesus Christ, that unto us a son is born, unto us there is a new dimension, that God is reaching out that we may come to know and acknowledge that this love made him to come from heaven so that he was made flesh, walked in the dusty road of Galilee and on this world to show the love of God and his care and how much that he wanted the people and people to get to heaven. And therefore it is important for us to really know that God is going to judge the sinners. That God is not going to keep, is not going to really make light as people do. Because now is a time of salvation. Now is a time for people to respond for the grace of God. Now is a time for people to come to Jesus Christ and repent of their sins. Now is a time to call upon the name of the Lord while he's still near. Now is a time to seek him while it can still be found. But it's a tendency of man being to come to the Lord when they are in trouble. And many of us have the tendency of waiting until people keep off and keep putting off salvation. Well, I'll get it tomorrow. I think tomorrow will be a good day. And we have seen people drift to hell on a daily basis. People dying through the road accident. People dying, going to bed in the evening and they cannot be able to stand the next day. And they just drift into hell each and every day. It is important for us to pay more careful attention to the things that we hear, the things that we have heard. We have heard about the love of God. The agape love of God that is so much precious, that God sent his son from heaven to come to this world, to be able to reach out and to manifest and to show that at the end of it, there's going to be judgment. At the end of it, God is going to bring everyone to account. What did you do with the grace that I provided? What did you do with the love that I showed you? The people of Nineveh had this message. When Jonah stood there and told them, you know, God is against God. Has said something against this nation that is going to destroy and bring everything down. The people of Nineveh were not really given any excuse. There was no alternative. But when they heard this, every one of them was touched, and every one of them was moved action. And all of them all of them went out and repented of their sins. The Bible says that when the king saw what was happening, he said, well, even the animals, no one should eat, and everyone should cry and call upon the name of the Lord. And he said, who knows whether God would repent and not do what he has already wanted to do. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that repentance is very important. And when you repent because you are moved of the Spirit, because you are drawn by the power of God, the Lord will do that which he calls you to do. God will never disappoint any contrite spirit that seeks after him. Because that's why he has provided that grace. And that's why he energizes you to really have that faith. You need to move by faith and seek him and call upon his name. And the Lord will do the very same. The people of Nineveh moved. They cried to the Lord. Even the king moved out of his pool of supremacy and went down and put on the sackcloth, and he called upon the name of the Lord, and he cried and he repented of the sin. And what happened is that after 40 days, the Lord repented. And the Lord did not really bring the damage or the judgment to that area. Why? Because the people repented. There is only one thing that the Lord desires of us. The heart that is humble, contrite, and broken. The heart that takes the word of God as it is. Because the Bible says that him that says that he is not having any sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have been judged. And every minute as we walk without Christ in our hearts, we are just moving to hell. And when we die without Christ in our lives, we are going to straight away drift into hell. That's why the Bible calls upon the listeners in this book that there's a very much important for us to pay and to give more careful attention to this word. Because when you hear this word, the book of Proverbs chapter 4:20 says, my son, pay attention to the things that you hear. Because anyone who hears this word, the word becomes like a living. It gives him the healing that he needs. So it's very important for you to pay attention and to do that which the Lord reminds you and calls upon you to do. Because the Lord will reward and will judge every one of us. He says that the angels who did not pay attention, the people of long ago who did not pay attention, when Noah stood up one day and called upon the people of his age, he says the Lord has seen the evil in our generation. The Lord is calling upon each and every person to repent. And the people of Jonah time made light the gospel that Jonah preached. For 120 days, Jonah stood up and called upon them and told them just to build a boat, a ship. And the people did not really take too care. He was there working on it. People just say they just married, they were just happy, rejoicing. And when the time came, it started raining. People realized, oh, God was serious. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you are here and you are lost, God is serious with sin. That's why God has made a sacrifice of his son, to make sure that your redemption is done. And it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, the high priest, who is able to present and is able to please God. He says, how shall we escape? There is no escape. Maybe somebody might be thinking, well, there will be a way out. The people of Jonah's time thought there was going to be a way out. And when the rain started beating, and everybody started running from wherever they are, some ran to the trees, some ran to the mountain, they realized that the judgment of God was falling over everyone. And the Bible tells us that everybody in that area, in that generation, died except Jonah and his children. And the animal went 2 by 2. God is serious about sin. He says the gift of God is eternal life. God has a gift for his children. It is eternal life. He wants to give you that gift if you listen and if you pay attention to the things that he's telling you. That you can listen to your heart, and if he draws you to repent of your sin, you need to do that. Because it's only him, the Bible says, it's only him who is the way, is the truth and the life. And by believing, trusting, repenting your sin to God, who is the only one that is offended. Because sin, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that that there is a reward, that there's a gift of God that he wants to give any of his children. The gift is eternal life. But there is also judgment for those who have refused. And he says that there is hell. That those people who have refused, the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. It's either you pay attention to his word, like the people of Nineveh, they paid attention and they repented of their sin, and God forgave them their sin. The people of Jonathan, they had the message. For 120 years, they refused and they rejected, and all of them died. It's important for us to pay attention, because there is no alternative. There is no escape. How shall we escape if we neglect? There is danger in neglect. The dangerous thing that we can do is to make life the invitation that God says, come to me, those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The dangerous thing is to ignore the invitation of God, the invitation of his son, and the gracious work that he has done by providing a sacrifice for himself and dying for you on the cross. And he, when he cried, I say, it's finished. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? He calls it so great salvation. It's something that no one else can give you. It is so great that the world cannot express it. It's so great that we cannot imagine. In fact, the Greeks tried to imagine, what kind of God can this be, that can allow his only son to die on the cross, which is a curse? It was unbelievable. You could not imagine. And therefore they thought of it and said, no, this is scandalous. We cannot believe it. And they looked upon it and said, no, to hell with Jesus, to hell with the cross. And Paul says, it is the foolishness of what we preach. It is the power of God. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto those who believe. Salvation to those who believe. So, it's important. He goes ahead and says, which at first, this so great salvation, it was first spoken by the Lord himself, who brought the first message, the message of love from heaven to this earth, spoken, manifested, demonstrated by the Lord himself. That's how great it is. How great is it is that the Lord himself brought and spoke about this salvation. Spoke about deliverance. Spoke about the release of the prisoners. Spoke about how he could provide peace to the peaceless and hope to the hopeless. And went about with this as people saw. And not only spoken by the Lord himself, and it was confirmed by them who had him. Who are those? His disciples. They had him. They gave their life to the last person. Going everywhere, preaching the gospel, ready to die because of what they had come to believe and because of what they had experienced in their lifetime with Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul says, whatever you do, he says, nothing moves me. He says, now, whether nakedness, what can separate me from the love of God? Is it nakedness? He says, no. They beat me, they persecute me, they do everything. He says, nothing. Neither future nor the past can separate me from the love of God. Because he has come to experience Jesus Christ when he was on the way to Damascus, when the Lord spoke to him and called him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The Lord spoke to him and gave him his life and gave him the hope. And every time he stood up to preach the gospel, he saw heavenly joy. He saw that he heard the voice of angels singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And therefore he gave his life for that. And that's why those disciples like Peter gave himself even to die. When he was out, he almost to die when they persuaded him to go out. And most of the people say that he met Jesus Christ and they asked him, where are you going? And he said, Jesus told him, I'm coming again to be persecuted. And he felt that, the Lord has confirmed his persecution. And when he came back, he said, well, I'm ready to die, but only that you put my head up, my legs up, and my head down, so that I may not be in a position that my Lord was. They had experienced Jesus Christ in their life. It changed them. And I want to tell you, you have to pay more careful attention to these things because they are important. They are hope. They are the things that we have to believe in. And we have felt it. We have felt the love of God in our life. He says, they confirmed it. Not only confirmed it, but he talks about God himself bearing them witness of the Spirit. When you are saved, you will know that you are saved. There's peace that will get into your heart. Burden will be rolled away when you repent of your sins. And joy unspeakable will come into your life. And you will be now able to talk to others about what is it that the Lord has done into your life. He will enable you. That's what he says, through both with signs and wonders. We must therefore pay more careful attention, because there is danger in trying to think that there's going to be escape. There's not going to be escape. Those people of a long time ago did not escape. People of Nineveh escaped because they had and they took careful attention. And we have a lot of people that we can tell you about. People like Judah did not take careful attention. And they are now in hell. I want to ask you, brother and sister, if you are here and you are lost, you need to take more careful attention. Not only from your mind, but in your heart. Because soon and very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And he's coming not to save anyone. He's coming to judge this world. Are you going to be able to stand before him after he has done all this, went to the cross and died a painful death, being a curse for your sake, died a death of shame for your sake. You want to meet him in that position. He says, I love you. He says, I is not pleased by the death of a sinner, but the Lord is persevering. But every day, every minute, he's waiting for you to come. No wonder he says, he calls upon you, and he says, listen, I knock at the door of your heart every minute, every hour, every day, every year. The Lord continually knocks your heart, asking, pleading with you to let him in, because he wants you to get to heaven, where you'll be rejoicing, no sorrow, no weeping, no crying. He wants you to take you a celestial home, a home where there will be no any problem, where there will be no sickness. That's how much the Lord loves us. He does not want you to go to hell. He knocks, says, if you hear his voice and open the door of your heart, he says, I will come in and I will eat with you. What else could he do? How much could he do? But I want to tell you that there's danger in ignoring this so great salvation. That he himself, Jesus Christ, talked about, spoke about, demonstrated. There's a danger in ignoring that which the disciples had spoken and gave their life for. There is danger in ignoring that which the Lord has already demonstrated through signs and wonders. But not only wonders, but by giving diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, that the church may be edified, that the people may feel his presence in their lives, and he gives it according to his own will. I want to ask you, brother or sister, if you are here, I want to tell you, don't put salvation too long. Don't put off salvation too long, because he's coming soon. You don't know what time, but it might come at this minute. Don't wait, because you will not escape. Hell is full of people who are waiting. Hell is full of people who are waiting. Waiting to be saved the next day. Waiting to be saved after they got married. Waiting to be saved after they got a job. Waiting to be saved when they got whatever. But now they are in hell, gnashing and crying, seeking, calling the name of Jesus, but it's nowhere to be found. Jesus is pleased that the gospel that we preach should be the only way by which you can be saved. That you need to have faith. And faith comes only by hearing the word of God, and trusting Jesus Christ as the only way that your sins can be forgiven. I want us to sing a song. I want to ask you, my brother, my sister, if you are here and you have not really made it right with the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to run. Because it's about your life, about your soul. Because soon and very soon this body is going to die. Where will your soul go to? Where will you go when you die? If you go to hell, going to be because you ignore. It's going to be because you did not pay attention. I want to say this as maybe as I finish. Those are very, very eloquent man who lived in Africa many, many years ago. He was so wise and very intelligent. One of the days before, when he was now old, age was coming, he was getting up with him. Some student that had just learned from university wanted to make sure that they brought this man down. And therefore, they brought a challenge to him before the public and say, "We want to have one of the biggest, we wanted to see how much this person, the wisdom this person had." Therefore, they called upon everybody to come for that meeting. And there they had locusts in their hands and they carried a horn as the crowd cheered. And they asked this old man, "Tell us whether the locusts that we have in our hands, are they dead or are they alive?" And as this old man was trying to gaze and look at them, seeing what they already they had decided, because they had already made a decision that if the old man says that the locusts or the grasshoppers in their hands are dead, they're just going to leave it and fly over. And every person is going to say, "Well, he has given you a wrong answer." But if he says he's alive, they're just going to squeeze it and die and throw it down. The old man looked at them and said, "Well, as they called upon, dead or alive?" The old man looked at them and said, "Young man, it all depends on you. Whether they are alive or whether the grasshoppers or locust is dead, it all depends on you." So I want to tell you, whether you are lost or you are saved, you all No. If you know that you're still lost, you need not to ignore this invitation. Because it is important. It is imperative, and those that try to ignore it now are in hell. But those who paid attention to it now are rejoicing in heaven. And their souls will be brought they don't die, they only sleep. May the Lord bless you. As you sing a song, if you're there, you want to come to the Lord, you can call upon his name while you're there, or you can come forward, we can pray together. Because the Lord hears, but you must come to the Lord humble and broken heart. And he will do what he has promised. He says, "I will never forsake you." You can come to the Lord as you see.
Let's all stand and turn to page 119. Sing the first and last verse. "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the
sing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
I wrote this. I'll leave this letter that I wrote. Also, some kind of instruction for the test.
I appreciate this message that Brother Alande brought to us, and I hope if you're lost and if you're here, that you truly take that message and you listen to it. You truly listen to it. There's one thing to sit and listen to a message and just allow it to go in one ear and out the other and never think about it again. But I want that message, if you're lost, if it scared you, that's a good thing. It should have. That message should have scared you. Take it with you and to think about it and to keep it on your mind and to keep it on your heart throughout the week until you return next Sunday. And hopefully between now and then, you'll get your problem fixed. Is there a word or testimony upon anybody's heart? Anybody else?
Turn to page number 204.